Hi, everybody. You're listening to the BBS Radio with Adina Bannick and Growing Up Indigo. So today is our second part of the series Soulmates and Twin Flames. One of the things that I don't do well is remember what I've said. I should listen to my recordings, but it kind of creeps me out to do that, so I don't. But I have a lot of information for you today. And if I am able to get some extra time at the end, it has been a long time since free readings. So I Xeroxed a bunch of them and hopefully we'll get to them. However, if you want to call in during the free reading and just get a reading, that is fine. Never feel uncomfortable, even if I'm in the middle of like doing this, like talking about a specific subject. Please call in if you want to. And you can call in at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Okay, so it was the week before. I'm here bi-weekly, which means every other Thursday. So the last time that I was here, I spoke about why, you know, what made me take on this topic. And I thought that it was because people were gravitating to me about readings about their soulmates and their twin flames. I thought it was because I interviewed someone who had written a book about it. I thought every other reason other than me. I remember I touched upon the fact that I had always let my knowledge about it go by the wayside. In other words, I would see someone going to someone else for information about that, and I would say, well, yeah, I can understand that. And I would never actually think, well, wait a minute. What about me? What about me? Haven't I had every experience you could think of? Haven't I been married at that time for like 12 years? Haven't I been married now for 20? And I did mention that some people would say, you know, I don't want your marriage. And again, I could understand that. And yet, I can't. And I'm going to tell you why. Not that it's better to have any relationship than no relationship, because I don't feel that way either. But the way I feel is this. I had a friend relatively recently who I had as a friend for about 15 years. And we had just kind of grown apart. I had specifically stopped calling because I felt that she had been judgmental. And I felt that I had never been judgmental with her, even when the stakes, so to speak, were kind of way beyond the boundaries. And I was afraid for her safety. I still would not allow myself to be judgmental. And she asked me why I had stopped talking to her. And I told her bluntly and honestly. And she didn't like that. She kept asking me. And I kept telling her. And finally she turned to me and she said, well, you know what? We all know that you're not good at keeping long-term friendships. And normally I would have just hung my head in shame and said, I think she's right. But not only did I not, I just picked that head up and said, hey, wait a minute. You want to go there? Are you sure? Because not only do I have as long friendships as you do, but no matter what anybody says, I have been married day in, day out. We have gone through every single relationship problem two married people could ever go through in their lives. Anything. You name it, it's happened to us. And we are still together. We're together. After all those years, it's 24 years. Married 20, together 24 years. Do I call that a soulmate relationship? You better believe it. I call it pretty darn amazing, especially when I couldn't keep a relationship more than a year and a half. So I think that's interesting. And what I want to do, and I don't want to sound like, I hope I don't sound smug or anything like that. I probably do. But it was really, that was my reaction to the way she said it to me, as if, we know you can't keep a relationship. And by the way, this particular person had never been in an adult relationship in her life. And her friends that were friends for a long time lived all over the United States. None of them lived where she lived. So I kind of felt that was unfair. Anyway, what I want to do today is, if you're still listening, is read the quotes that I wanted to read to you. And the reason I wanted to do that is because some of them will seem to absolutely be completely the opposite from another one. And that's what I want to bring up, that it isn't about one major answer. I did bring along some interesting things about a twin flame. As far as a twin soul goes, I kind of felt the same thing, and I did a lot of research on it, and everyone kind of concurs that it's a twin soulmate is just another word for a twin, for a soulmate. But a twin flame is a different entity altogether. Many people agree with what I was taught a twin flame was, and many people seem to agree that they rarely last in a lifetime. And I'll get to that a little later. And I believe it's because they're so rare. They're rare because they're a literal splitting off of a soul who meets again at the last or the second to last life, when they get together and they share what they've learned all of these lives. They also include you believing about reincarnation. And that's something else I've noticed. There are many people who don't necessarily believe in reincarnation and life after life, and yet they believe in soulmates, they believe in twin flames. To believe in something like that, you need to believe in a concept like soulmates or twin flames. Otherwise, it has absolutely no meaning. And yet people conveniently will say, oh no, I don't believe in that, but I believe that we have twin flames. Okay, so what I decided to do, and I don't think I did this before. If I did, somebody needs to just push my producer, Donald, in the shoulder and say, tell Adina she did this. So this is not written by me. This was written by a Mr. MJ for Micah. And this is what he says. There are more times when the psychobabble falls silent and there is nothing to explain. The breathless experience of another human being as a perfect reflection and complement to ourselves is there. When someone And when something seemingly lost to us returns, or maybe finds us for the first time, in a single moment of blinding clarity, we may find ourselves gifted with the essence of an authentic, egoless love. And then all the talk of archetypes and motives, complexes, core conflicts, and neurotic interdependencies becomes somehow inadequate. Romantic love is a bunch of hooey. It is an antiquated and artificial notion dreamt up by Victorian poets and frustrated ladies-in-waiting to console them their desolate hearts and empty bedchambers. Yet, it is a notion so imbued in our culture that it is at the very essence of our premise for relationship. That simple fact may also be part of why half of our relationships fail. I got to thinking about this the other night when a very dear friend of mine said to me that in her mind, passion, true passion, is not about crazy love or hot sex, but about the subtle intimacies that two people share, the words unspoken, the needs understood, the delicate understandings, the silence. This got me to thinking about the nature of love, not romantic love or crazy love or even hot sex. Although I have to admit that to having dwelled upon the hot monkey sex love for a time, but rather true self. True love is the conscious choice to put someone else before ourselves in every way. A further exploration of this idea led me to the notion that true love is actually about the choice to put another person before our self, in quotes, setting aside the needs of the ego for the sake of another. True love might be thought of as a reflection of the essence of the egoless vow to forgo our ultimate enlightenment and remain on the wheel of life until all other beings have attained their own state of enlightenment. There is no romance or artifice here, only commitment and responsibility. With that in mind, there are two kinds of love to consider: ego love, which is all about me, and soulmate love, which is all about not me. Ego love is about the self, the small self, while soulmate love is about that which is self-love. I'm sorry, which is selfless. We'll be right back. Just a moment.
BBSradio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge, bringing humanity closer to truth.
And we're back. So soulmate love, on the other hand, takes ego out of play. There are no demands placed on the other because there are no demands. There are no demands because there are no expectations. There are no expectations because the initial overarching expectation and demand that this other be someone or something that he or she is not and cannot be is never part of the equation. In addition, the ego is not only taken out of play, it is never actually in play. That is because that moment of blinding clarity is actually a moment akin to satori or samadhi. It is the moment that we recognize that we are in all things and that all things are in us. It is the moment that we see ourselves reflected in the eyes and heart and soul of another. It is the moment that we recognize our soulmate. And that's why I think it's so amazing that so many of our soulmates turn out not to be romantic love. And it's amazing that so many of us find it very easy to accept that notion. I've heard so many people say, I really feel like my daughter is, my son is. People seem to accept that. But when we talk about a twin flame, none of us say, oh yeah, my twin flame's my sister. None of us do. And I agree that there's a major difference. So what I really want to do is say some of the quotes that I've gathered for us. And the reason I'm going to just say them, and I might not necessarily tell you who said them, because it kind of makes them seem lesser than they are, if you know who said them. I want you to know that I am quoting all of them. Even if I wrote them, I'm quoting them, because I just don't want you to know who wrote what. If you ask me who wrote something, I will tell you exactly who wrote them. I have their name down and everything. So here I go. The first one is, let's see. Soulmates are designated companions to help you and themselves accomplish mutual goals, which can best be achieved by supporting each other in various situations. In terms of friends and lovers, identify, recognize, recognition of kindred spirits comes from our highest consciousness. It is a wonderful and mysterious experience, both physically and mentally. There are many tests wrapped in the package of love, mixed into those lives where we have had a long and happy life with a soulmate. Are those lives where we have destroyed the relationship or been devastated by the actions of our soulmate toward us? I have chosen to be one of your, and a name, guides, as you have incarnated. We have been brought together many times in many incarnations. Now, obviously, this is being quoted to someone. In each time, you and I have decided where we will meet and what circumstances we will bring opportunities for one another to have those beautiful growth experiences. We are truly what those in your realm consider to be soulmates. Two souls of very similar vibratory frequencies at which we both have a color and a sound that are similar. This is not unusual. This is also something that I have been talking about for a very long time, ever since I can remember. So many people ask me, and yes, I want to talk about this for a second. I get so many questions about who's my soulmate, how will I find them, and they need to know where and how. And what I will say is not revolutionary, but it seems to be to people who hear it. Love is love. If you put love out into the universe, any kind of love there is, you can put out love that you have for your nieces. But if you walk around all day feeling love for life, for a tree, for your cat, for your parrot, and your frequency is raised with that kind of love, you're going to attract love back to you. There is no such thing as something labeled romantic love. I don't know why I thought this is strange. I was just going to say we dine, but we do. We dine out on a frequency of higher love. Oh, that's interesting. I don't know why I said that, but we do. That's exactly what our soul is nourished by, this higher love. So if you're walking around every day thinking, oh my God, I'm never going to meet them. Oh my God, I don't have this. Oh my God, I have to be thinner. I really do. I am 20 pounds overweight. How do I expect to meet my soulmate 20 pounds overweight? There's no way. There's no way. Rather than thinking that, just walk around thinking, I love the way I laugh. I love the way I love my friends. I love the kind of daughter, mother, sister I am. You want to make a bet you'll bring in a soulmate? So let's continue. You may be born into your present family for many reasons. You may find after death a much stronger relationship emotionally with a personality from a past life. Let's say you're married, for example, and have no true rapport with your mate. You may instead find a past wife or a husband waiting for you. Oftentimes, members of various groups, I did this last week, church groups, hunting groups, any kind of military groups, you are working out old problems in new ways with this group. And that is something that deals with not being with your soulmate in this particular lifetime. It happens, people. Now, I'm not saying that it happens to everyone, but it does happen. Some such reasons are, and I think I went through them last week, having a higher purpose that would be diluted with a soulmate. Okay, here we go. We'll do a lot more. A soulmate is an ongoing connection with another individual that the soul picks up again in various times and places over lifetimes. We are attracted to another person at a soul level, not because that person is our unique complement, but because by being with that individual, we are somehow provided with an impetus to become whole ourselves. Giving someone a piece of our soul is better than giving a piece of your heart, because souls are eternal. Giving someone your soul, and when one of them meets the other half, the actual half of himself, whether he be a lover or youth or a lover of another sort, the pair are lost in an amazement of love and friendship and intimacy, and one will not be out of the other sight, as I may say, even for a moment. I will tell you that the person who wrote this started the ball rolling on soulmates. He was responsible for soulmates as we know of them today. I also want to say that I see three levels in what this person said. Not just we won't be out of each other's sight even for a moment in terms of earth, but in terms of what I believe daily. I'm going to just give you some examples. There isn't, as a medium, I work on several levels. I have spoken to people who have passed on. I have spoken to people who are in our reality, who have assisted us in dealing with people who have passed on. This is the most amazing thing I can experience. In other words, someone, and I've known about it too, I will say to my client, wait a minute, so-and-so was here. I don't know who they are, but they will tell me their name and I will say, wait a minute, I don't know why they're here, because, and we'll both say at the same time, this person isn't gone. And their higher self will come and assist us because of a link and a connection. So we are always communicating with loved ones that are gone and not gone. Once that bond of love is there, we're always communicating. And listen to the next quote. A bond between souls is ancient, older than the planet. A soulmate is the one person whose love is powerful enough to motivate you to meet your soul, to do the emotional work of self-discovery and awakening. We recognize a soulmate by the supreme level of comfort and security we feel with that person. That doesn't mean that there aren't issues that remain to be ironed out. Rather, it means we know intuitively that we can resolve issues with our soulmate without losing his or her love and respect. I think that's beautiful. People think a soulmate is your perfect fit. And that's what everyone wants. But a true soulmate is a mirror, the person who shows you everything that is holding you back, the person who brings you to your own attention so you can change your life. And that's really true. What greater thing is there for two human souls than to feel that they are joined together, to strengthen each other, to be at one with each other in silent, unspeakable memories? A soulmate is someone to whom we feel profoundly connected, as though the communication and communing that takes place between us were not the product of intentional efforts, but rather a divine grace. Feel deeply connected. You come to love not by finding the perfect person, but by seeing an imperfect person perfectly. Perfectly. My husband says that to me a lot. When you're in love, you're capable of learning everything and knowing things you had never dared even to think, because love is the key to understanding of all the mysteries. Have you ever felt really close to someone, so close that you can't understand why you and the other person have two separate bodies, two separate skins? You have half our gifts, I the other. Together we make a whole. Together we are much more powerful. If I know what love is, it is because of you. Maybe our girlfriends are our soulmates, and guys are just the people to have fun with. I bet you can guess that. And I know I read that last week. There is no such thing as a soulmate, and who would want to be? I don't want half of a shared soul. I want my own damn soul. No such thing as a soulmate. Immature love says, I love you because I need you. Mature love says, I need you because I love you. Soulmates are muses, the people in your life you despise, disrespect, and desire the most. I used to believe in one true soulmate, but not anymore. I believe you can have a few. Most people have more than one soulmate. A soulmate can come in the form of a life partner, friend, child, or lover. A soulmate can be someone with whom you share a spiritual path, a joint work in the world, or a commitment to be parents to a certain soul. Souls. It can be one whose growth you are sponsoring, such as a child. I do want to just remark on this. This person who wrote this quote, she wrote one of my metaphysical Bibles. In fact, I'm going to be digging her out again. Her name is Sanaya Roman. And when I was first becoming aware of my gifts and, well, not my gifts, but the fact that I was an empath and sensitive, she taught me how to handle it. And I've been doing a lot of teaching lately, For people who are just finding out as well, you know, how do I handle this? How do I deal with being an empath and learning to use it and learning to live with the people I come in contact with? And so far, it's becoming like my favorite thing to do. So if you happen to come across a book by Sanaya Roman, get it. She's excellent. The minute I heard my first love story, I started looking for you, not knowing how blind I was. Lovers don't finally meet somewhere. They're in each other all along. There are no accidental meetings between souls. To say that one waits a lifetime for a soulmate to come around is a paradox. People eventually get sick of waiting. Take a chance on someone, and by the art of commitment, become soulmates, which takes a lifetime to perfect. Clapping, clapping, clapping. I'm clapping, clapping for that one because, again, and I can't go more into my story than it just doesn't. I'm just saying that, again, when I first, I don't think I did do this. When I first met my husband, you couldn't have, we laughed. We absolutely decided that all we wanted from each other was 3 months of some kind of fling and bye-bye. That was it. We had nothing in common. I thought he was 15 years younger than me, if he was a day. My friends, my family, everybody said, oh, don't be ridiculous. And he the same. He was the one and only person I said I would never even consider marrying. Every single person before him, I was positive I was destined to marry. So that quote is perfect for me. And I'll tell you what did it. Oh my God, I do want to say something. Every other person, no matter how much I had been in love with them, the bottom line was this. I would ask myself, and please listen just for a second. I'm not talking about romantic, deep in despair when we say to ourselves, I can't live without them. I can't live without them. But think about it when you are, I don't know how to say this, when you're a tiny bit karma. Say to yourself, when you are karma, can I live without this person? Imagine yourself years and years down the road. Can you think of living without them? What's your answer? My answer was yes. I could think of living without them. And when it came to my husband, well, he wasn't my husband. My answer was not unless he lived in the same house, not unless he lived next door. That's the only way I could have come to some kind of agreement. I had never felt that way before. There was nothing in common except for this emotional ease that I felt with him, a real one where you didn't have to say anything, do anything. All I had to be was me. Me. As long as I was breathing, it seemed to be okay with him. That never happened before, ever. I had to be smart, pretty, funny, intelligent. I don't know. You name it, I had to be it. Because that's what they liked about me. This particular guy, I had to breathe. And he was happy. Now, am I saying that we will be together until the end? I have no idea. It doesn't come with guarantees. Have we had it hard? Yes. Have we wanted to be divorced? Yes. Do we get divorced? No. I don't know. We're always here. So anyway, let me continue. But wow, boy, do I have pages and pages and pages of quotes to go through. And I haven't even gotten to Twin Flames. So let me quickly go to Twin Flames. And then, you know, I want to do a reading or two, don't you? Gee, I wish somebody would call in and tell me what they want. Because I have so much that I want to do. If you want to attract a life partner as your soulmate, there are several illusions you need to relinquish. One is that your soulmate is someone you will be with for the rest of your life. I swear, I just picked this up out of nowhere. You can have a soulmate relationship that lasts a few weeks, months, or years. Time has nothing to do with the quality of your connection and its importance in your life. Oh my God, that's so true. That really is. Just as what was said before, you can be with somebody for 50 years and have them not be a soulmate. And I also do want to say, regarding like my marriage, had I not married my husband, I would not have been forced to do what I've had to do, meaning be the person that I am. I never would have had to be who I am. I wouldn't have had to stretch, grow, or done any of the things I've had to do. Have I liked them? No, I haven't. But I've had to do them. Okay. I want to get one thing. Let me just talk about Twin Flames for a second. Because I've met people that think Twin Flames are just a little notch up from a soulmate. And that's really not what I see and what I get. So let me just tell you what they are. I think I did last week, but I want to do it again. Okay. A twin flame or a twin soul is another slice of you. It's very rare. Once in a blue moon, you bump into each other or you bump into another slice of your oversoul. And it's actually an oversoul of our complete soul. I was talking to somebody about, I had a reading just recently, a mediumship reading, where we were talking about someone that we contacted. And it's fascinating because this particular person, I have never had anybody who shows up like this person. He can show up and do everything, this man. But she wanted to know, how does he manage to do the things with me that he can do? And that's because we don't take our full energy into each life with us. So anyway, let me continue. Occasionally, we will bump into our twin flame. That's why the connection feels so intense and strong. It also explains the telepathic sensitivity that we have with our twin soul or twin flame. Twin flames rarely make it for the long haul. We are usually contacting each other because there's a huge catalyst that we need to bring out, such as, I don't know, the next phase of your life is going to be huge, karmically huge, and my presence is here to make you acknowledge and remember that it's coming. So it's not something that you're supposed to remember or be as soulmates. And before we were born, we agreed to play that out. Soulmates are people who we do play out to some degree. I'm not saying that our soulmates don't die in this life, because they do. They do. But our twin flames usually have it a little tougher going, because our twin flames are usually, it's, you know what, I need to bring somebody on here. Well, maybe not. They think of twin flames as being a heightened soulmate. The only time I ever feel that way is at the end of our reincarnational cycles. During our reincarnational cycles, I totally believe that twin flames are literally the other half of us that we meet once, twice in a lifetime. We go, aha, there you are. Hi. And we're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're me. You're me. That's right. I knew I hated you for some reason. No, I don't mean that. I mean, I knew that you irked me for some reason. Why? Because your twin flame is here to show you what you still have to work on. That's why. Literally. If you want your soulmate, you have your soulmate. Your twin flame is the other part of you. Wouldn't you think that's kind of incestuous if you think about it? Why would we need a soulmate and a twin flame? Isn't that a little gratuitous? I'm just thinking. Why would I need a soulmate, or, as I believe, several soulmates in a lifetime, and my twin flame? What point does that make? Give me a soulmate. My twin flame sounds like it would be the other part of me, which it basically is. So why would I want that yet? Maybe my last life, I end up living with my twin flame. I don't necessarily still know if I want to have an intimate sexual relationship with that person. Maybe I'll be twins. Maybe I'll be brother and sister. Who knows? I don't know. But if that's my whole, then I'm not so sure I want to be having any intimate relationship. So there's so much here that I wanted to say and do. But I think I'm going to take a break. Then I think I'm going to come back and answer some questions. And then I think next week we are going to go straight into how each of the archangels can assist you. Oh, I have a treat. I'm going to do a little update. Just one angel that I'm not sure you guys are familiar with. And this angel we will be talking about as soon as we come back. And I'm going to take a very quick break.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge, bringing humanity closer to truth.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to BBS Radio. They were the first or second, but totally up there. And if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS. And you're listening to Adina Banik, Growing Up Indigo, on Station 1. So I want to talk about one of the archangels, and he's not on all of the lists that we usually get when we, you know, have archangel talk. And in fact, I learned about him when I became an advanced archangel practitioner. So, and his name is Archangel Nathaniel. And I am going to just talk about him really, really quickly. His color is red, bright red. And he's the archangel that you call, and very, very carefully, you only call him when you want change. That's so fast, your head will be spinning. So he is super red, and he works so quick. And he will, you have to, he'll work with everybody, but you have to know you're going to set aside your comfort zone. And he is going to take you from A to Z. He will put your, he will like your focus. If you're the type of person that can't focus and you can't get up energy to focus, let me tell you that Archangel Nathaniel calling him in will make you focus on what you want. And if your focus is your soulmate, call him in. He will take you to that experience so fast, but you have to know what you want. You have to know what you really want. And I'm saying that seriously. You better write down a list of exactly what you want, because Nathaniel will bring it to you and in record time. So that's our little sneak preview, and I'm making it really quick because I really do want to get to some free readings. You know how much I love them. And so, okay, here we go. Okay, the first one is from F, and F says, I've been feeling really doubtful and anxious about my future. I feel stuck in life, and I want to work for myself, but I'm struggling financially. Will I end up working for myself, doing something I love, and be successful? Well, let's find out. Now, normally, I need it to be much more general. I mean, wait, much more specific. Something about the way this person asked, I was able to tap in. Let's go see. Okay. And I think what I'm going to do is, okay. We are doing kind of like a combination right now. All right. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. You see her name. Huh. Wow. I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay, F, I am going to say a couple of things to you that you should understand, okay? Number one, you have to be true to yourself. And I think that's been difficult for you. The second thing I need to say is that you're not seeing the situation accurately. And when I say that, it means that you're feeling misjudged. Hold on. Okay. There is someone who will help you. You either are working for, right, you're working for something very established, but I think you want to leave that, and you're terrified of not having what you truly want. What I got as an answer is you will. You're being kind of supported now, and you need to take more charge than you're used to taking. and that you will not be broke. Hold on. And the answer lies in, wow, the answer lies in working with other people, a female, and if you do something legal, it might help to make this become a reality for you. Okay. Next, let's see who's here. Okay. Hi, my name is H. Recently, my GFA of many years left me and is seeing someone. I would like to know if she will come back to me. Let's go find out. Okay. Okay, now, guys, even though I do the editing, please don't do it for me. A lot of people are, you know, they hear me do like H or A, and so that's how they write in. And I thank you for that, but I need you to do it the whole name. I will edit it for you, I promise. I'll never give out any kind of real names or dates of birth or anything. Okay, so I am asking how A feels about H. Okay. I'm getting there. Ooh, all right. Okay, and okay. So, A, would that be... Okay. So, H. A thinks about you all the time. A regrets, feels sad, and is still devastated by this breakup. Hold on. Let me see something. Mm-hmm. Go over here, please. Thank you. Okay. A is kind of hoping that fate will bring you back together, and that if fate doesn't do it, now you said that A was seeing someone else. This does not look like a picture of someone else. This looks like a picture of no one else but you. So, H, go do something. Go get A back. Okay? Okay. Yep, go get A back. Okay, let's see. I think we have time for one more. Here we go. Okay, this is from Y. My partner, ex-partner, treats me badly, shows me no respect, looks at other people. This person hit this person, is controlling, manipulative, and abusive. I can't believe I didn't read this beforehand, but I didn't. I don't have an abusive hotline number right here. I should, and you should be calling. Why does he do this to me? There is no reason. I can't even read this because there is no reason. When somebody's abusive to you, there is no real reason. Could I read this person? Yes. Would I find out the ridiculous reason he came up with last time? Yes. Would it mean anything? No. Because abusive people don't need real reasons. They're just abusive. I was in one myself right before I met my husband. And it came on so slowly that I had no idea it was abusive until I had to acknowledge it. It's just the way they are. And we keep remembering them before they became abusive. We keep remembering that 1 week or that 6 months before we went out that they weren't abusive, but they're never going to be that again. Yes, they do have a honeymoon period where when you make up again that they are kind for a week and a half, 2 weeks, maybe even a month. I don't know. But once they step over that line with you and they're abusive, especially physically, leave. And I know you're thinking, easy for you to say. Not easy for me to say. Not easy. But it has to be done. I continually thought about my future. And my future looked pretty bad from where I was sitting. And I left. And I loved that person very much. But I left. I can only hope and pray that you feel that way too. That you look at your future and you look at any scenario in your future and decide that this is not something that you can stay in. Okay, everybody, I'm sorry to leave you on such a sad note, but if this was your email, please write me at askadina@aol.com. I will absolutely talk to you and tell you what I know and even read for you and get you a number. Next week, we are talking about the angels specifically. And all the material, although of course it'll be material that I've learned, will be original material that I have learned, that I have gotten from my own work. So we'll be here not next week, but the Thursday after at BBS Station 1, Adina Banik, Growing Up Indigo. Love you.